All right, please notice with me in 1 Kings chapter 1. I just want to read the first verse in verse 1. 1 Kings 1, verse 1. And we'll refer to some other verses in this chapter and chapter 2 in just a moment. I'm going to preach a message this morning titled Old Age. And we're going to talk about, first of all, the challenge of old age, which there is a challenge. And then secondly, we want to talk about the crown of old age. Now, I have sermons on this. 2014, Paul the Aged. Paul was only in his 60s when he refers to himself as Paul the Aged. We also have preached a message 3 years ago, or 2017, titled The Elderly. And then we preached in that same year, Teach Us to Number Our Days. Notice with me as we come here to verse 1, and what I want to present to you this morning is that the Bible has a lot to say about old age, and God sees the aged as very precious, and that they are dear to His heart. Old age is honorable, with a life lived for the Lord. And we find that there's no shame in old age, but we find God speaks of their glory. So we should view the aged the same way that God views them. God is not through with us just because we get older. Sometimes we shine brighter as we get older than we do when we're younger. He says in verse 1, speaking of David, he said, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat." Heavenly Father, we do come before Thee this morning, humbly, seeking Thy will, asking for Thy leading from Thy Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. Lord, as we come to this subject here this morning, help us. Lord, help us to look at it the way that You look at it. Help us to understand that old age is just a part of life. And Lord, that You love us. Throughout our Christian life, You love us even when we're old and we're not capable of doing the things we have done in the past. That Your kindness and Your mercy and grace is poured upon us. And we ask, Lord, for Thy will to be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Yes, we need to view the aged as God views the aged and that their beauty and their glory. Now, as we come here, we're going to read this verse again. But we find here David. It says he's old and stricken in age. David is 70 years old when he dies. When I come to the Scriptures and look at this subject, I used to look at it as a young man. Now I look at it as an older man. And I have always loved being around older people. And now I are one. I've always loved their testimony. I've always loved their faith, their wisdom, their experience, their maturity. I've just always loved being around old people. Most people want to be around their peers. Had a man said to me a year ago, he said, "I want to go to a church where people are my age." I said, "Okay, fine." But I've always loved being around older people. And I've given you this example before. But when my wife and I had got out of the military and built a new home and started a business in Tennessee, we built this home. Our property joined the property of an elderly man. And I say elderly, I was in my 20s, probably mid-20s, and he was in his 70s. His name was Earl Smith. And I loved to just follow him around his farm. He had a large farm there beside our home. And I wouldn't leave him alone. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to listen to him. My wife and I loved to sit down in their home and just sit and listen to them speak. They were Christian people. They had a love for the Lord, and they played a great influence in our life. Avery and I have had the opportunity to grow old together in the last 31 years. And I'll give you just a few examples before we get into our message. A man by the name of Jim Tharr, he's about 82, 83 years of age. Loves God. He's retired from the Pentagon. He lives across the bay. He comes out and helps us at the abortion clinic. I love it when he calls me and listen to his enthusiasm in his 80s for the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's just stirred up about Brother Stanford, 95. We check on him about once a month. And sometimes he calls us. They wanted to move here at one time and be in the church, wanted to come from Texas. I love to listen to his testimony. I've never heard a man talk about the Lord any more than he wants to talk about the Lord. He don't talk about other things. He wants to talk about the Lord. Started playing, taking lessons for the violin at 90 years of age. Both of my grandmothers, one died at 88, one at 93. I preached both of those funerals, but I used to love to just sit with hours with them. As a younger person, just sit for hours and talk with them. I used to spend close to a half a day with my grandmother every time I'd get to go and see her and just talk with them. My mother's 88 and a half. My father died at 79. Enjoyed his company, enjoy my mother, talked with her on the phone yesterday for about an hour or so. When I lived in Selma, there's a lady, and I've mentioned these to you before, there was a lady that was in our church. She died about a year and a half ago. She was 99. So she was probably in her late 60s, about my age, when I moved there and became their pastor. The other lady, her sister, is over 100 now. She's still alive. And I used to just, my wife and I just loved to sit down with them in their home. Sit for hours, and I would usually listen, you know, to them. I wanted to hear what they had to say. Brother Avery's aunt, Miss Clark. Loved that woman. She had a good testimony. She had a smile on her face. You could just see the glow of God in her face and loved to just sit and listen to her talk. Had an elderly man in Pennsylvania when I pastored up there, Mr. Levy. He's in his 80s. I was in my 30s. Loved to be around that man. Someone come to me in the church one time and said, he sings a little off key. I said, leave him alone. God loves his singing. I said, don't you ever say a word to that man. Don't you ever say a word. Sister Joanna's been with us going on 21, 22 years. We've had lots and lots of conversation about the things of God. And so I could go on and on. I have a list in my mind. If you've got 3 hours sometimes, I'll tell you about them. But they are, all have been a great blessing and help to me, an encouragement in my faith when I was in my 20s, in my 30s, even after I started pastoring, in my 40s and my 50s, to be around people that had some sense, loved God, and you could see God all over them, and they wanted to talk about the Lord. Well, as we come here to our text this morning, we're going to start off with David, and then we're going to go and look at some other scriptures. You know what happens with many of the elderly people now? They get thrown aside. They get cast aside because they're no good in their eyes anymore. Many of them get put in the nursing homes and hardly ever visited. That's one of the reasons I preach the message, the elderly, and how we should care for them 3 years ago. And the people are too busy now to spend time with older people. They're too busy. And people don't want to listen to what they got to say. They don't want to be around them. In other words, they think that they know more than they do. I'm 68 and a half, and I wouldn't go back one day or one year of my past life and change it for nothing. In other words, the other day I got a letter in the mail that says the 50th graduation anniversary. I'm saying 50? Wow, that's a long time ago. And, of course, they cancel it. They sent a letter and said, we've got to cancel it. We'll do it a little bit later because of still the COVID and whatever. And you know what? I've only been to one, and I got to preach at it. And I have never missed 1 minute of school. I've never missed that. People say, oh, if I could just go back and be 18 years of age again or 16 and be in school. Not me, because I don't miss any of the school. I didn't like it when I was in it, and so I don't miss any of that school. And I feel like today that even though I am physically weaker, I feel like today that I am stronger than I've ever been in my life when it comes to truth and when it comes to maturity and faith. And I have the peace of God. In youth, I knew the promises of God. And in old age, I know the God of promises. And so there are the challenges. We're going to talk about that. But there's also the crown of old age. Now notice it says here in this passage, it says, now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he get no heat. That happens sometimes with older people. Not only do they get colder easier, they don't have the heat inside. Now what they did, they tried to put clothes on him to give him heat. They even come up with the idea of the caretakers, and this didn't work either, to bring a young virgin in to be close to him. Of course, that was their concoction, and that didn't work either. But we find here that it says, and David was old and stricken in years. This expression, stricken in years, is used for Abraham and Sarah when she was past having children in Genesis 18:11. It is used again with Joshua in Joshua chapter 13 in verse 1 and chapter 23 verse 1 and 2. And it's used one other time in the New Testament in Luke 1 verses 7 and verse 18, I believe it is, with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now with two of these couples, they were old and well stricken in years, and God performed a miracle in their lives, and a promised child was born. So this stricken in years basically means someone who is advanced in years, someone who is experiencing the pain and the suffering that goes along with many years. As a matter of fact, the word is kind of used, it's like being struck or wounded by a projectile. And so David, at this time, it says he was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. David was 70 years of age when he died. Turn with me, please, to chapter 2. And notice with me as we come to chapter 2, and I'll read just a few verses here, and then we'll kind of get started. Notice in chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Now, my first point this morning is the challenge of old age, the reality of growing old and even dying. It's not always easy. When we talk about the challenge, it's not always easy, but God has promised to always be with us. And we find here David is around 70 years of age. He dies at 70. I don't know what the time frame is between chapter 1 and 2. It could be 6 months. It could be a year. It could be less. But we find that David was dying. David was sick. He could not maintain body heat. And you know what that would probably feel like. And we find here in death, he still has faith. And if you read through chapter 1, he begins taking care of business as far as the one that would take his place, Solomon, and things about the kingdom. He began taking care of business and setting things in order. Now, this is the man that had been a king. He had been a warrior. He had been very strong in his youth. He had been a giant slayer. But now he's weak. And he's dying, and he can't even keep his body's heat. He was a man in Acts 13 after God's own heart. He loved God. Many promises were made to David. But it comes time to die, and this happens with every one of us. And that's why the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God in the book of Amos. We need to be preparing for old age and even death as we are in our youth. Now, you'll notice that as we come to verse 10 and verse 11, it says here, and so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. So that's all I want to read about David. I want to move on and look at some other things, but I thought it'd be a good place to start that David died at 70 years of age, a man of God, loved God, and maintained his faith. And we find in the Bible the tabernacle of David, the sure mercies of David, the promises of someone that would sit on his throne. God loved this man from his youth until the day that he died. Now turn with me to Psalms chapter 90, and I just want to walk you through some things. Some of these we've looked at before, probably most of them, but I think we need to be reminded. I think we as who are older and aged, we need to be reminded of the challenge of old age and also the crown. And I think young people need to be reminded of this. Now, as we come to the Scriptures, the longest lifespan of human life was 969 years in Genesis chapter 5. But the average kept dropping down until the time, especially we get to David, but the life kept changing, and the average in the Bible is 70 to 80 years. That doesn't mean you'll make it to 70, and that doesn't mean you'll die at 70. Adam lived 930 years. Abraham lived 175 years. Moses lived 120 years. And David lived 70. It just kept dropping down and kind of leveled out. And the Psalms speak of this. The only Psalm that we have that was written by Moses is speaking of this truth. Psalms 90, I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. When we preached a few years back, 3 or 4 years from this, we titled it, Teach Us to Number Our Days. We went through the whole Psalm. But this Psalm speaks of the brevity of life. And Moses was a man that he saw an entire generation perish in the wilderness. Some estimate that he actually saw about 50 or so die each day, which have been about between 15 and 18,000 a week that died during that wilderness journey. And so when Moses writes this here, he's not writing in despair, he's writing in hope. Because it was sin that brought about death to begin with, so we all must face it. So he's writing this in hope. Now I want to read verses 10, 11, and 12. And then we're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're talking about right now the challenge of old age, the reality of growing older and eventually dying. Sister Joanna just lost a dear friend. I count her as a friend too, just this week. And so we find that no matter how we live our life, I mean, we can eat all the right foods and do all the exercise, but we will come to this place. And I'm not downgrading eating right and exercising, but it doesn't matter what we do, we will all come to this place if Jesus doesn't come before. Now notice these three verses I want to read. And it says in verse 10, 11, and 12, the days of our years are 70 and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, let me back up, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So we see here the brevity of life. And he speaks of 70 years as an average, and if we get another 10 years. And again, we know of people living in their 90s and even to 100. But this is the average here, between 70 and 80 years. You can do some research on this. No matter how you look at it, this is the average. And so we find here in this passage that the 70 years, that's fixed. That's a general rule. Again, some die before, some die later. But then he speaks of the labor and sorrow that comes along with every year that we progress in age. And we all know this. Some of you could stand up and testify to this. When he mentions in verse 10, in other words, if we were to get 80 years or plus, he says, "Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." In other words, we die. When he talks about labor and sorrow, he's talking about infirmities, weariness, exhaustion, things of that nature. In other words, as we get older, we change. And so there is the infirmities and the weariness and so forth that comes along with this. Then in verse 11, he says, "And who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." We find here, in other words, when he speaks of the fear, who can understand this life? We need help from God. We can't do this on our own. We need to fear God. We need to follow Him and love Him. And then in verse 12, he says, "And so teach us to number our days." And this is in youth, not just when you get older. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." In other words, teach us to number our days. Count them one by one as we would count coins. In other words, people are getting, count their money and their coins. Well, we'll count our days one by one, because there is a fixed day that God has for each of us, some sooner, some later, but with all it will come. So we're to prepare in our youth to meet our God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 14 through 18, to redeem the time. So he says in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That is the wisdom of God. Get it, keep it, embrace it, use it in our lives. One writer says that one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And this is so true. I see people waste their life. And it's not all bad things, but they still waste their life. And God is not a part of that. And it's sad to see somebody get to the end of their life and they've wasted 60, 70, 80 years living for themselves and never do anything for God. Well, turn with me now to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to go there and then back up into the book of the Proverbs and Psalms. But notice, as we come to Ecclesiastes, and we're reading in chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now notice the first two verses, he speaks of youth, and then he steps into the subject of old age. He says in verse 1, he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days," and the evil days, by the way, are just old age, and when trouble comes and more pain comes and heartache. He said, "While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." In other words, he's just saying, remember thy Creator when you're young. Serve Him while you have the energy, the vitality, and serve Him now, and then you will do well in your latter years. Now come down with me to verse 3. This chapter is a picture of our life from youth to old age. And when he begins describing old age, and again, there is no shame in old age. There's no shame in it. But it's a fact of life that we will change, we will become weak, We will not be as quick in body or mind. Doesn't mean we're crazy, but we'll not be as quick in body or mind as we once were. It's an honorable thing to grow old in the presence of God. And I'm going to give you some verses on that in just a few moments. The Bible speaks of the beauty and honor and the glory of the gray hair. Now, but this chapter is a picture of our life from youth unto old age, and it's going to describe old age almost like a house falling apart. This is the reality of it. And so he says, remember God in your youth. Now notice, as we read from verse 3, and I'm not going to just camp out here, but I do want to read some verses here that describes the things that are happening to some of us, and it will happen to others as they come to this point. And keep in mind, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, to everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. So there's that time to be born, and there's that time to die. And infirmities will come. Someone asked me not long ago, they says, you know, I've got this wrong with me, and I didn't do anything. You don't have to do anything when you get old. All you got to do is wake up and know that something's wrong. I got up one morning not all that many years ago with and lost use of this left arm. I went to a doctor. He says, the term he gave me two terms. The one I could remember is a frozen shoulder. I said, doctor, I didn't injure it. I've not hurt this arm. Nothing has happened. He said, you don't have to. You get a frozen shoulder without doing anything to it. It took me about 3 months. When I was driving an automobile, and I'm left-handed, I'd have to pick this hand and put it up there. And I'd drive an automobile, just lost use of it. And so I did a little bit of therapy. Then I got out here on a ball court and finished up the therapy, and I just kept working with it. And 3-4 months, it's back to normal. So all you got to do is wake up when it comes to infirmities as we get older. You don't really have to do anything to it. And you know, as we get older, even people in their 40s, whether they got good eyesight or not, it starts changing. Life is changing for us. And most of us wearing glasses or contacts or whatever. Some have laser surgery, that kind of thing. And the mind is not as quick as it used to be. The body is not as quick as it used to be. And still yet, we see this described to us in Holy Scripture. It shouldn't shock us. Many times it does, but it shouldn't shock us. Now let's just go through a few verses here and notice, beginning in verse 3, he says now, describing getting older. And he said, in the day when the keepers, that's probably the arms and the hands, when the keepers of the house is the human body, it's called a house, a tabernacle, in 2 Corinthians 5:1. He said, when the keepers of the house shall tremble, in other words, they become weaker. He says, and the strong men, probably referring to your legs, shall bow themselves, even become weak-kneed as we get older. And he says, and the grinders, the teeth, cease because they are few. And those that look, probably referring to the eyes, out the window are be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, probably referring to the mouth, more difficulty in speaking or singing and things. And when the sound of the grinding is low, speaking of our hearing, rise up at the voice of the bird. In other words, probably don't sleep as well as you used to. And he goes on to say, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. In other words, maybe not be able to sing as well as we used to, or things of that nature. He goes on to say in verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Can somebody say amen to that? High places, I still get on a ladder, but I don't like to get on a ladder. I only get on one when I have to. And I'm so thankful for a new roof. Remember the last time I stepped a foot up on that roof, had a couple of Brian's young men working here, and I stepped one foot and I said, I can't do this. And one of them said, let us younger one take care of this. And I said, thank you. And I stepped back off the ladder and haven't been back up there since then. He says here in verse 3, the verse 4, the latter part of that, he says, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. And then in verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. In other words, the almond tree has white blossoms, referring to the white hair that the Bible speaks quite a bit about. And he says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. In other words, any little thing can bother us as we get older that didn't bother us when we were young, even like a grasshopper. And desire shall fail because men go to that long home, that's death, and the mourners go about the streets. And verse 6, and or even the silver cord, probably referring to the spirit, be loosened. Or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. In other words, one writer said, this represents an expensive lamp falling when its chain breaks, and a pitcher can no longer hold water, and the wheel is broken, and the water can't be drawn. In other words, just describing as we get older and older, get more frail. And then he says in verse 7 and 8, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. In other words, we're going to that long home, and we're in that life's journey, and as we get older, we experience many of these things that we see in this chapter. But he said this in verse 13 and 14, notice he says in these verses, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now here's what we're to do. To fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. We all will die, and we all will stand at the judgment of God one day and give an account for our life. Now notice with me as we turn a few books back to Proverbs, or one book back maybe, Proverbs chapter 16. So I could say much more about the challenge of life. There's many challenges that we face as we get older. But let's now come and talk about the crown of old age. In other words, the glory and beauty of the aged saints who have walked with God. And again, there is no shame in growing older. It's a part of life. Every person will experience it. Now notice the crown of old age. We find in chapter 16 and in verse 31, he said, the hoary head is a crown of glory. Notice, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, if it not be found in the way of righteousness, that white hair is just giving you a signal that it's an old fool. But notice he says in this passage, the hoary head, that is the white head, is a crown of glory. There is nothing to be ashamed about, because it's God that's changed the color of our hair. And he said, if it be found in the way of righteousness. I want people to see my gray hair because I have earned it. I'm 68 and a half years of age. I've earned it. And I want them to know that there's a little more maturity and wisdom here today than there was in my youth when I had a different color. Notice also as we come to chapter 20. In chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs, and we're reading this time in chapter 29. There is also a beauty of older people. He says in verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. And we know that because they brag about it. And he says here, I'm in chapter 20 and verse 29, and he says, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. Now those old men and old women have a different kind of strength and beauty. In other words, it's a spiritual beauty. It's a maturity. It's piety that they have. And so he says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Turn with me, please, to Leviticus, and notice with me in chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Now, here's something interesting. I've dealt with this before. But if you write down Exodus 3 and verse 6, we know that in the Bible that God is referred to Himself as the Ancient of Days. What is interesting that God, in that passage I just gave you, He presents Himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, He's placing His name beside these great elders to show the promises to Israel that they would come true and they would be fulfilled. Now notice in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19, if you're taking notes, Leviticus 20 verse 9 also. But notice in chapter 19, reading from one verse, I'm coming down to verse 32. Now I want you to notice here, again, that the Lord honors the aged. And He says here in this passage, He said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. And again, he speaks in chapter 20, verse 9, about the consequences of cursing father and mother. But you'll notice here that God honors the elderly. And that's important. We live in a society where that people want to throw away the elderly. I've done a lot of nursing home visiting over the years, even with a veterans nursing home every month and Bay Minette for 3 or 4 solid years. And I've been in many nursing homes and would see people where their family, and I'm talking about right here in this county, would put them in the nursing home, and I've met people who hadn't seen family for 6 months to a year and them living within 20, 25 miles from them. We live in a society that wants to throw people away if they cannot seem in their eyes to be productive to society. But now let me read the rest of this verse. And to go along with this verse, Proverbs 31:26. The young are to rise up and praise the elderly, especially the mother in that passage, and bless them. 1 Kings 2 and verse 19, Solomon, we find that in 1 Kings 2:19, that what he did, his mother came into his presence, Bathsheba, and he rose from the throne, bowed down before her, and then had a chair set to his right and had her to sit down at the right hand of his throne. He honored his mother. In John 19, verse 26 and 27, Jesus on the cross, one of some of his last words, was that at 33 years of age, an adult, is that he honored his mother at the very end of his life. In other words, he was concerned for his widow mother's welfare. So notice now, as we read this again, I'm reading in verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear God, I am the Lord. So if God honors the elderly, if God honors the aged, then we are to do the same thing. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. Now, notice with me in Isaiah, and I'm reading in chapter 46. In Isaiah chapter 46. So God has a lot to say about this. I've just picked out a few passages this morning. And I think this needs to be addressed every few years, if not more. In Isaiah chapter 46, notice He is the God of the aged. I'm reading in verse 3 and in verse 4, speaking to the children of Israel. He says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, that is carried, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." God is saying that He was with them in His youth and He will be with them in their old age. We have to face the consequences and the challenge of growing older. It's just a part of it. But He's saying that I will be with you and I will carry you and I will comfort you during this time. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms now. And notice in Psalms chapter 48. Psalms 48. Go through a passage, some passages here in the book of Psalms. Now there's many in their golden years served God in the Scriptures. And we know personally of many in our lifetime that have done it. I've already given you a short list. But we find that Abraham, in Genesis chapter 25, he died at 175 years of age. But he was a friend of God, and he followed God all the days of his life. We find in Exodus 7, verse 7, Moses and Aaron, they began their ministry in their 80s, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Joshua 24, 29, Joshua, he is also referred to as old and stricken in age. He served his God until the day that he took his last breath. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 and 21, and also chapter 6. Daniel served from his youth into his 80s or 90s. He spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. He never left Babylon. He did not go back when they rebuilt the city and the temple, but he remained true to God even in captivity. He served his God. He's the one that got in trouble for praying toward Jerusalem three times a day. We find in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they served God into their old age. John the Baptist's parents. They're very faithful. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, a man by the name of Simeon, he was an aged man, and by faith he received the promise of God that he would see the Messiah. He waited for the consolation of Israel, and God had promised him by the Spirit that he would see the Messiah, and he got to hold the Messiah in his arms as a baby and blessed that family. In Luke 2 and verse 37, Anna is at least 84 years of age. And we find that she still has an association with the temple and with fasting and praying. In other words, in her 80s, she's still loving God. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, God says in His holy word, He said that the aged men are to be teachers of the Word of God. And the aged women are to teach the younger women. And so we find all through the Scriptures that God honors the aged and the young should listen to the aged, especially those who have walked with God. Now notice in Psalms chapter 48, I'm reading in verse 14. And he said this, he said, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death." This is a promise that we have. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Psalm of David. I'm reading in verse 25. If you take the surrounding verses, it'll just add more to this. But notice what David has said. He said, "I have been young and now am old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David, in his latter years, accumulated all of the gold and silver and brass and everything that was needed to build the temple of God. God said, you're not going to build it. And he said, but he collected all the material and then gave Solomon the command to do so. Notice with me as we turn to Psalms 71. Psalms chapter 71. The psalmist here in verses, I'm going to be reading in verse 9 and verse 18. The psalmist has a petition. He said, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Notice in verse 18, he said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So this petition or this prayer, God will answer it if we will walk with Him and serve Him and be faithful. We can be faithful in our old age. Notice in Psalms 116, in Psalms 116, I want you to notice that God is not only with us in our old age, but He's with us even in our death, as with David and Abraham and others. We find in Psalms 116 and verse 15, said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. So God has promised to be with us in our youth, in our old age. He's promised to be with us in our death because He says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Notice with me as we come to Psalms chapter 92. To Psalms chapter 92, and I'm just going to be reading maybe a few verses here. Psalms chapter 92, verse 14 is the verse I'm after, but let's begin reading in verse 12 through verse 15. He says here in this passage, he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Notice in verse 14, it says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. In old age, there's a lot of things we can't do. You don't have the physical strength to do it. But still yet, in old age, we can still bring fruit unto God. We can have a smile on our face. We can have a testimony in our heart. We can witness to others. We can still have a prayer life in our old age. We can still counsel others, the youth. We can counsel them. In other words, we can let our light shine even in old age. God should be in our hearts, and we should be speaking that to others and also letting it be seen in our life. That is truly needed in our society. Well, turn with me to the New Testament and notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Very familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul's last letter toward the end of his life. He knew his life was drawing nigh. And notice with me as we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verses 6 through 8. Some of you may have this memorized. And in the book of Philemon, the Apostle Paul, again, refers to himself as Paul the aged. That will be in verse 9. You know, when Paul wrote this letter, he could use the authority of his apostleship. But you know what he used? He said, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such and one as Paul the aged. He used love and his age to encourage someone to listen to his words. Well, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's the Apostle Paul's words in his last epistle before he died. And he said in verse 6 through 8, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth. In other words, because of verse 7. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. The Apostle Paul had such confidence in his God, and he had served Him faithfully, that he says, I know that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He knew that, and he said He'll also give you the crown of righteousness if you will serve Him and be faithful. So this is some of the Apostle Paul's last words. Paul the aged was martyred, died probably in his early 60s or mid-60s, somewhere around there. But he said that he was ready to be offered and the time of his departure was at hand. Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul also wrote in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. 2 Corinthians, this time in chapter 4. We're going to close here in chapter 4 and also maybe a few verses in chapter 5. So the aged have experienced many fulfilled promises of God. And again, old age is honorable. Our frailty is not an offense to the Lord. I want you to think about that. God does not despise the frailty and the weakness and the aged. Because He knows. He created us. And He knows that that's the way it will be. So God is not offended in our frailty, whether in body or mind. God is not despising the old age and the weakness and the infirmities that come along with that. But many times in our society, people despise that. And don't want to be around the elderly. Don't want to spend time with them. Notice as we come to this passage, the Apostle Paul has been describing from about verse 8, he's been describing his troubles, his distresses, his perplexity. He's been describing the persecutions, all of the things that he was going through. And then in verses 16 through 18, he said, for which cause we faint not. In other words, we haven't given up, is what he's saying. But though our outward man, that is your body, perish, he said, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The body is slowly wasting away. He said, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now notice as we step into chapter 5, I'll read just a few verses. We mentioned the body is referring to as a house, a tabernacle. And he said in chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is death, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this, that is this body, this house, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. In other words, he goes on to talk about this. And then he says, we're to verse 7, walk by faith and not sight by sight. And then he says, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then he speaks of the terror of the Lord in verse 11. I want to leave with you this morning is that God honors the elderly and the aged and those stricken in years. And God honors them. And God is not offended. God does not frown upon or look down upon the frailty of the aged. As they get weaker in body, sometimes in mind, as they get weaker, God is not in any way critical of that. As we get older, we should grow sweeter, closer to the Lord, not spend time in negativity. We should not be a cranky person. We should love God even in our pain or infirmities, do our best to follow God and to be faithful to Him. And I believe that the youth should respect the elderly, desire their wisdom, desire to be around them, and desire to help them and encourage them in their life. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we thank Thee this morning for the privilege that You've given us to assemble together and, Lord, to discuss this subject. It applies to all of us. Whether we're there or not there, it still applies to each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to grow in grace. And Lord, help us to be loving. Help us to love You. Help us to keep our eyes upon You. And Lord, that the gray hair will shine forth as a testimony to Thy glory and to Thy mercy and to Thy kindness and Thy salvation and redemption. Lord, we thank You this morning again for Your Word. We thank You for teaching us that we might follow Thy ways. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.